Church family, 2 years ago, I preached a message similar to what I'm going to preach tonight. It won't be the same one, but probably similar. And I just, obviously, I feel like it's a direction for the Lord's tonight. But I want to preach on a message. And I've never preached on this title before, obviously. But I want to preach on this thought tonight. Act like a 12-year-old. This is Alan came to my office just before the service because I write down what we're preaching on. And so when she came to my office and I gave her the card, I said, act like a 12-year-old. And she thought I was talking to her. But actually, I am talking to everybody tonight. And the story is Luke chapter 2. It's the story of Jesus Christ when he was 12. We got three windows of pictures of Jesus Christ. The first window of the picture of Jesus Christ during his humanity was at his birth. That's what we're celebrating at Christmas time. We got so many things of Christ and being born in Bethlehem. And again, I know it leans over to that a couple years past his birth. But you've got the wise men coming. The wise men didn't come to the manger scene. The wise men came to the house. Jesus was 2 years old when the wise men came. But anyway, so you got that picture there of basically at his birth. The second picture that we have is what we're going to look at in Luke chapter 2. It's verse 41 through 52. And it's the picture of Jesus at age 12. He was 12 years old. Now, the majority of the picture that we have of the Lord Jesus Christ is his 3.5-year ministry. About age 30 to 33, Jesus Christ, his earthly ministry of the healing, and of course, people believing, and of course, him crucifixion, resurrection, etc. That's a bigger picture. We only have a slight window in this one here in Luke chapter 2, and I'll be as brief as possible tonight. I want you to look at this with me now. Verse 41, Luke chapter 2, verse 41. It says, now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover, and when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast, and when they had fulfilled the days, as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinfolk and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. Now I'm going to pick it up in verse number 46 here in just a second. I'd like to pray one more time, if you don't mind. Ask the Lord to speak to our hearts. Father, we ask again for the blessing on the bread that we're about to eat. And Father, the spiritual bread, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. Lord, I ask you to please help this word that we take into our ears and our hearts, Father, would feed our soul. Help us, Father, to have an understanding. And Lord, may we, with that understanding, Father, may we make application to our own lives and others. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now, church family, again, I want to cut right to the chase. I want to go straight into where we're going tonight. And here's what I want you to think about tonight. Jesus, when he was 12 years old, as man, though he was God, gave us an example of what a 12-year-old ought to act like. Are you with me so far? All right, now, I find that some adults don't even act like this 12-year-old, all right? And I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, well, Pastor, come on, he was God. That's the reason he had these attributes. But the attributes I'm talking about, I'm not talking about some great spiritual understanding. I'm talking about some basic things that a 12-year-old ought to be doing. And I want to tell you something, they're not normal anymore. This morning I was at McDonald's early and I was doing some studying. And I had gotten away from it, but I thought to myself, you know what? I'm going to go back to the playroom. You know, the playroom in the mornings, because there's no music back in McDonald's playroom, okay? And so it's been months and months, if not years, that I've gone back there. I used to study back there all the time. So this morning I thought, you know, no one goes to the playground at 5:30 in the morning, alrighty? So I go back to the playground, the music's off, and I'm studying away. And sure enough, I get 30 minutes into that, and this man comes in there with three little kids. And they were not the best of kids. And they come in screaming and yelling and making all kinds of noise. And this guy, I would guess he's probably 30, 35 maybe, probably around that age. And he says, man, I am really sorry. Because my Bible's out, my computer's open. He can see that I'm studying. He says, no, I'm going to leave. He says, I'm not going to stay back. I said, no. I have 8 children. I can handle a little noise. He said, I'll move. I said, I'll go. He said, I'll leave the play area and I'll go over, you know, where everybody else eats. I said, no, you let them play. It's not going to bother me. It bothered me. So I'm sitting there and I'm trying to study, and he goes and gets breakfast for his kids, and he is right behind me, okay? I'm sitting in a booth. He's right in here. The kids are leaning over, looking at me, screaming in my right ear. And he is trying to counsel his children. Now, remember now, I'm not real good with ages, but I bet you he had one in a high chair. By the way, he went and got the high chair because he warned the child about 3 times. Now, if you don't sit down, I'm going to put you in a high chair. So finally, after doing it about three or four times, he decided to go to his high chair. So the first one's, I'm going to guess, maybe 3 years old. And that one was a brat. And the reason I know is because it was the girl. But anyway, there were two others with him. I'm just joking. Okay. There were two. Amen. Sweet, sweet spirit in this place. Okay. There's two fellas. And so then they had two boys. Okay. And the two boys, they were running around and everything in there. And I'm going to guess their ages at, maybe 5 and 6. They weren't really old. And so, when I said stay there, I had no idea that the Lord was going to have me there to witness what I believe most parents go through. Because now he's sitting and I can hear everything. I didn't have my earbuds in. I'm in the playroom. It's quiet. Was quiet back there. And so I'm sitting there, and so I'm listening to everything that is going on without working at it. Now I'm illustrating, and I'm going to get right back to the message. But I want to tell you something. This illustrates so much to me that we're living in a day where parents are trying to talk their children into doing right. And I just want you to understand the rod and reproof give wisdom. And here he is saying, now, eat your food. And if you don't eat your food, I'm not going to let you go to Walmart and look at the toys. And now you need to sit down. And you don't be hitting your brother. And you tell him you're sorry. And I'm not telling him I'm sorry. I'm just on and on and on and on. Listen, come over here and eat your food. No, that's one. I'm listening to all this. You know, come over here and sit down so that you can eat. And then he said, no. He said, that's two. No, he says, now listen. He says, if you don't come over here, I'm going to put you in a high chair. And now, the little boy didn't tell his dad that, but he might as well have, okay? So eventually he coaxes them, and he's trying to talk his children into doing what he wants them to do and still look like he's the father. Now, just remember, I don't know. I gave the guy a track this morning, but I don't know if he's saved or not. But I want to tell you something. We've got saved folk that can't control their children. And church, I don't have anybody in mind tonight. I'm not looking down upon anybody, but I'm telling you, the attributes of Jesus Christ are not just a matter of a 12-year-old taking them on. It's a matter of a parent teaching them to have them. Are you all with me tonight? Now, I want to just point out these things tonight, and they're going to be so basic tonight. I mean, they're right here in Scripture. I want you to look at the first one with me. Now, let's go to the next verse. I'll read verse 45 again. Here's what it says, and when they found him, not, they turned back again to Jerusalem seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple. Now that we could talk about that, but I want to talk about acting like a 12-year-old. What did he act like? It says they found him in the temple sitting in the midst of the doctors. Now the word doctor is not like a physician. The word doctor is an instructor or teacher. And the Bible says that they found him sitting. Now church family, I want to tell you something. Kids have a hard time sitting today. And I know that the day we're living in. Can I tell you something? When I was growing up, there was no such thing as every time a kid did something wrong, he's got ADD. He has ADD. He has the disease. Attention deficit disorder. It almost sounds like cancer. He's got ADD. I don't know how many times, and I want to tell you something. Christians are taking that hook, line, and sinker. My kid's got ADD too. Church family, I have 8 kids with ADD. But I want to tell you something. That kind of disorder is fixable. Because every kid has ADD. Attention deficit. You say, Pastor Reese, every kid does it. Church family, can I tell you something? Do you know how many times when I was growing up, my mother had to say, pay attention. Listen to the preacher. Now, my dad was the one that was preaching, and I didn't like it growing up. Because my mom, she was ruthless. But my mom, we sat back, and of course, when I was younger, we sat with her. And if we were messing around, Dad was preaching, Mom would just lean her hand around this side over here and grab the right ear. And then with her fingernails, she would squeeze. I was abused. The church family, once you get fingernail marks into your ear, it gets your attention. And then Mom would look at me and says, and you know what you do? You pay attention. Now, I want to tell you what I had. I had ADD. Now, this thing of attention deficit disorder just means a child is not focused. And the best way to get focused is to have a mom and dad that keeps you focused. Now, I'm just trying to tell you this morning, or this evening, that when the Bible says that Jesus as a 12-year-old was sitting, I think it's an illustration that we need to teach our children, be still. You know, the Bible talks about that in the book of Psalms, actually a couple different times. Again, I apologize the verses. I couldn't get my computer to print my message tonight. But the idea of being still comes from the Psalm, I think it's Psalm 46, if I remember correctly. And then also there's another Psalm. But the Bible uses the word be still twice in the book of Psalms. And of course, the one you know is be still and know that I am God. And I want to tell you something, church family. When there's a bunch of movement and a person's not focused, then I want to tell you something. That they're not going to get what they need. How many times did Jesus, when he said, okay, disciples, you get food for these people? Nope. Well, make them all sit down. Put them in 50s and set them down in rows. You know, I want to tell you something. Every time Jesus taught, Jesus got into a boat, and what did he do? He made the people sit down. You know, there's something about focus when a person sits down, and they're not moving all over the place. Can I tell you, we need to teach our children to sit down. Church family, I want to tell you something. I am not chasing my kids around a table when it's time for supper. They're going to sit down. They're going to sit down. And I want to tell you something. All of my kids have problems, and I'm talking major problems because they're all mentally off. But I understand this one thing. I'm dad. I'm king dad. And when it comes to supper time, you're going to be sitting down at the table. You're not going to be eating your food walking around. You're going to sit down at the table. Now, I want to tell you something. We've got kids that can't sit down. They do their own thing. They're not. If they want to get up, they get up. If they want to do something, you know, when I was growing up, man, this is going to be a terrible message. When I was growing up, we were not allowed to leave the table unless we asked Dad, may I be excused? Kids have no idea what may I be excused. You know why? They get up and down, up and down. They move around. When it's time to sit down, sit down. Pastor, my kid can't sit down. I promise they can. Put them in front of a cartoon. Put them in front of a movie that lasts 2 hours and they won't move an inch. They can sit down. And I want to tell you something. Jesus is an example of a person. You say, but he was God. But church family, why did he tell us what he did as a 12-year-old? I believe it's so that he could teach us how to teach a 12-year-old, but to teach a 12-year-old what they ought to be doing. Hey, is there anybody here 12 years old? Raise your hand. You're 12 years old? All right. Wow. Stand up if you're 12 years old. All right, now, so Zach and Odessa, Martin, Michaela, Michelle, Marlon, Marcus, Martin. Which one? Marshall. Oh, come on. I tell you. I have to work my way down to figure out his clan. Man, 11. Marshall. And then Daniel. Is there anybody else standing? All right. Hey, I got Zach, right? Okay, now, of course, church family, in this passage here, the Bible says he was 12 years old. Now, all I'm trying to do is get you to see the mental picture of what Jesus physically age he would have been. Now, think about it for a second here. And now, you got Zach and Odessa and Marcus? Marshall. You know, I don't know about you, I would never name my kids all S's ever again. All right, and I'm glad we're not repeating that, but I'd never do it again. I just can't remember which one I'm calling. It's the same way with your family. He's got all M's, but anyway. Daniel. Now, church family, can you imagine this guy? He's not with mom and dad. All right, you three sit down. You come here for a second, Daniel. I'm not going to prolong tonight, I promise. He is not with his Mary and Joseph. He's not with them. Mary and Joseph went on down the road, and that's a lesson in itself. But here Jesus is, go ahead and have a seat right there. Jesus, on his own, goes to the temple. Jesus, on his own, sits down. How come he wasn't outside playing with the other kids of Jerusalem? He sat down. I want you to stay here for just a second. Here's the second thing. And again, I'm thinking of things as a 12-year-old. So, act like a 12-year-old. Sit down. Act like a 12-year-old. Look at verse 46. And it says, and it came to pass that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both. What's the next word? Hearing them. Can I tell you something? We have 12-year-olds that do more talking than their parents. Yeah. You know, my father used to tell me this, and I know it's not a Bible verse. It might as well have been as many times my dad told me. Children ought to be seen and not heard. Now, that was very frequent. If my dad was in the living room talking to an adult, and we got even the least bit loud, he'd say, he didn't call me Pastor Hanks back then, he'd say, Scott! And in his tone of voice used to told me something. And I didn't have to answer because I knew what he was saying. I mean, I would answer, but I knew what he was trying to tell me. You're too loud. Now, can I tell you something, 12-year-olds? You guys that are 12, maybe you're 10 years old in here. I don't know. Maybe you're 14. Hey, can I tell you something? Number one, you ought to learn to sit down. Now, some of you sit down too much because you're lazy. But you ought to sit still. When it comes to the church service, somebody ought not to have to say, here's your piece of candy so you don't move. Okay? And by the way, you ought to listen. You ought to focus in. Okay, what is somebody telling me? And I want to tell you how that works. It's called your eyeballs following the person. It's called looking a person in their eye so that you can hear and put the eye and ear together. And it causes you to be able to think about what is being said. Jesus at 12 years old was, listen, a wise man will, Proverbs 1:5, a wise man will hear and will increase learning. What is it? 1 Thessalonians 4:11? And that ye study to be quiet and to do your own business and to work with your own hands. I think it's James 1:19. That ye be, brethren, be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Now, Trisha, can I tell you, we're supposed to be teaching our children that. And I want to tell you something. This is a reminder to me that I need to say, hey, listen up. I'm talking to my own children. Hey, listen, you listen. You're going to learn a whole lot more by listening than talking. God gave you one mouth and two ears. That means he wants you to listen twice as much as you speak. Close your mouth. Look at something else the Bible says about Jesus at 12 years old. As a 12-year-old, he sat. As a 12-year-old, he listened. Next one is right there, the last three words, verse 46. Asking them what? Asking them questions. Now, we used to be told there's no dumb questions. Now, I don't agree with that. All right? We have college students, amen? All right. I think there are dumb questions, okay? But I will say this. The best way to learn is to ask questions. To ask questions. How something works and why we do. Now, I don't know about you, but as your children get older, isn't it interesting? You hear the questions they ask. I mean, they're so elementary to us because of experiencing life, but it's new to them. You know, why do we do this? Now, Stephen is my questioner, all right? Stephen and I will be driving down the road, and he'll start asking me all kinds of questions. And sometimes they get impatient, so I ask Stephen questions when he asks me questions to show him how stupid his question was. I know I shouldn't do that, all right? I'm glad he asked questions. But sometimes Stephen asks dumb questions, right, Stephen? All right? And so what I have to do is I'll ask him a question for his question to show him he already knew the answer to that question, okay? But questions are good for us, and it's good to ask questions. And I want to tell you something, children. I just want you to understand something, and I'm not lying to you here. Some of you have some of the wisest parents, and you don't even know what you've got in your own home. Now, I couldn't illustrate this tonight because I didn't think about it until afterwards. But I want to tell you something. If I could tonight, I would give all of you a bucket of water tonight. And then I would come around with a scoop. And I would say, can I have some of your water? And I would take a little bit out of your bucket. And I'd put it in mine. I'd take a little bit out of your bucket. The Bible says that the righteous man is as a well of life. Did you know all of you in here, you're a well of life to an extent? In other words, there's things that are in your bucket that I want in my bucket. And the only way to get them in my bucket is to listen and ask questions. So the more I'm around you, hey, how does this work? Now, why do we do this? What does the Bible mean? Do you understand that when a person asks questions, you're listening and taking from somebody else's bucket and putting it in your bucket so that you will be able to help somebody else down the road? Here, listen, I'm trying to hurry. Hear counsel. I think it's Proverbs 19:20, I think. Hear counsel and be wise. That thou mayest be wise in thy latter end. Trisha, can I tell you, young people tonight, the reason you ought to be asking questions, the reason you ought to be sitting in class and not just trying to get an assignment done, but trying to get understanding of what's going on, is so that somebody can take from your bucket down the road in your latter end to be able to help somebody else. You ought to be collecting as much as you possibly can. I just got done talking to the high school. I had a session with them on putting books on your shelf. And I was going through all the different, and I'm not talking about physical books in a library. I'm talking about them learning. They ought to have books on their shelf concerning language. They ought to have books on their shelf concerning art, the arts. I think they ought to have books on their shelf concerning spirituality. I think they ought to have books on their shelf concerning trades or occupation. I think they need to get as much as they possibly can. But the problem is, I was in my office, in my conference room where I've got books. And I said, the problem is you don't want this book, and you don't want this book, and this, you don't want this book. But what you don't know, you're going to need those books down the road. And I want to tell you something. The best way to get your well full, the best way to get books on your shelf, ask questions. Ask questions, and good questions. So Jesus, as a 12-year-old, act like a 12-year-old. What should a 12-year-old do? Listen. What should a 12-year-old do? Sit still. What should a 12-year-old do? Ask questions. Look at something else here. And again, there's some probably more that you could pull out of here, but look at verse number 48 and 49. And when they saw him, they were amazed, and his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. Verse 49. And he said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Wished ye not that I must be about my, what's the last two words? Hey, act like a 12-year-old. Be about your father's business. Church family, he was 12 years old, but he was just doing what the father wanted. Hey, can I tell you something? Well, tonight, I don't want to lose you tonight, but young people, you don't have to wait till you're an adult to be spiritual. You don't have to wait till you're an adult to be able to for the Holy Spirit of God to speak to you or for God to give you direction in your life. As a 12-year-old, he said, "Hey, Mom, I'm about my father's business." In other words, I'm about what God's will is for my life. Hey, did you know what? He was conscious at 12 years old that God had a will for his life. You say that he was God, and I completely agree with that. But church family, the reason that that we have in the eternal pages of Scripture the portrait of Jesus Christ only three times in his life, this must be pretty important. That God would show us that as a 12-year-old, what we should be doing or what we should be like. Act like a 12-year-old. Sit. Act like a 12-year-old. Listen. Act like a 12-year-old. Ask questions. Act like a 12-year-old. Be about your Father's business, your Heavenly Father's business. What's your Father's business? It's to seek and to save that which is lost. We pulled in tonight. We were the first ones to pull in, and I had some of my kids with me, and Stephen got out of the car, and there was a police officer at the end down here, and he was working on some things, and the first thing Stephen said when I got out of the car, hey, can I go down there and give the police officer a track? Now, I want to tell you something. I'm glad he's thinking that direction, and I don't want to put cold water on it. I want to make sure we keep that going, that mental. You know, that ought to be all of our, what does God want? What's my father's business? What am I supposed to be doing? This afternoon, 23 or 24 people, I think, went with Brother Daniels out door-to-door soul winning this afternoon. Now, what are they doing? They're about their father's business. You say, no, they just went soul winning. No, they didn't. That's the father's business we're out doing. Hey, as a 12-year-old, I just want you to understand, at this size right here, at this age right here, you can sit still. You can listen. Hey, Jesus gave us an example. He wasn't telling us something that was impossible. And I want to tell you something. You ought to be about your father's business. Let me give you one more and I'm done. Here's the last one I want you to see quickly with me. Verse number 50 says this. It says, And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. And he went, Jesus, and he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was, what's the word? Subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. All right. If you're here tonight, say amen. Amen. All right. Somebody a little tired on me tonight. I don't blame you. If I had to go through a business thing like that, I'd fall asleep too. Hey, church family, can I tell you something? At 12 years old, Jesus, who was God, submitted to his parents. He submitted to his parents. Now, I just wanted to be honest with you, which I'm supposed to do anyway. But there ought to be in my children's life a certain amount of fear with their father. Certain amount. Now, I want my children to love me and everything. But, you know, in the Old Testament, it said the children of Israel are supposed to hear and fear. Several times throughout the Scripture, the Bible says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. That's 1:7. In 9:10, he says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. In 15:33, the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor and humility. I would say fear is a healthy thing. Are y'all with me so far? Now, I just want you to understand that my kids need to submit, you know, Samuel and Susanna right here and Sarah and Stephen and Silas and Seth way over there, too far away. But all of my children need to fear. Now, I love them. I do love them. But I just want to be honest with you. They better not disobey the rules. They better not sass their mother. Amen. They better do what they're supposed to do. And I know it takes a balance of mercy and truth, but church family, and I've said this before because we talked about it recently, and the statement is so true. Truth without mercy is cruelty. Mercy without truth is compromise. And what's happening is we're raising a bunch of children on just mercy and not truth. Truth says, okay, you disobeyed. You're going to get spanking for that. Withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him the rod, he shall not die. Now, I felt like many a time I was going to, but I didn't. Dad, he never knew. He didn't have math in school. When he started spanking, he didn't stop till he was done. And since he wasn't on an exercise program, it was only when spanking he got his exercise. But I just want you to understand, I lived. And you know what? I feared my dad. I knew, okay, I can handle you yelling at me, but there was a line you just didn't cross. And can I tell you something? I love all of my children, but they should fear their dad. They should fear their dad. You know, two of my boys did not make it to a meal here recently. When I sit down, my wife is very good about, we try to have suppers together. My wife is very good about supper time. So what happens is that my wife, this is just me, okay, but I like food hot, I like food on time, and I like to make sure there's enough. That's not just a church smorgasbord, that's meals at my house. I want to make sure the food's hot, I want to make sure it's on time, I want to make sure. And my wife, in all these years, she's not complained at all, she just does it for me. So when we sit down to the meal, I sit down, and then she immediately is putting the food on. Steam's coming off the bowls, you know, the food's hot. I mean, I like that. All right, now, I know some of you women, you don't like me saying that because your husband's never had a hot meal, but I like that. Are you all okay tonight? All right, I probably shouldn't have said that, but you're all getting kind of quiet on me. But so anyway, so I sat down for a meal, and two of my boys were not there, and they weren't even in the house. So we pray, I'm not waiting. Food's hot, it's on time, I'm there. If you're not, you're going to be sorry you're not. So we sat down and ate, started eating. Two of my boys decided to show up. And I didn't say anything until they sat down. When they sat down, I said, as soon as this meal's over, you meet me in my room. That's all I had to say, because they knew. You're going to be at that table when I sit down. I'm not chasing you. I'm not going to find you. Now, I know this seems like a very small thing to you, but that's me. So you have peculiarities about your family. That's one of mine. And after the meal was over, we went to the room, my room. And I said, hey, listen, you're not going to be late for a meal. And I'm not going to hunt you down. You will find me before I find you. And then they explained why they were late. And since I'm judge and jury, the jury said, sorry, not a good reason. So then the judge had to take over after the jury. Since I'm judge and jury both, jury said, no, don't work. Judge says, punished. 75 swats each. And then when I get done, I didn't give them 75, but when I get done spanking them, I love them. And I'm not going to bring it up unless I'm in a church service. And honestly, we tease about this now, but it doesn't come up back at home, ever. I mean, church service, I use an illustration. But we don't talk about it, because I'm not, because you know what? I'm thankful when God forgave me, he forgave me. It's done. So we don't bring it up again. But I want to tell you something. That's not going to happen in our house very often. I will tell you why. Because they don't want to go to my room. Hey, you know what the problem with the children is this? The reason we have children who are not submitting is because there's no fear. It doesn't matter. I can do whatever I want in the house. I'm the star boarder. I don't have to pick up my clothes. Send the maid in. I want to tell you something. That kind of stuff would stop if you'd say, come to my room. Listen. Why didn't you pick up your dirty clothes? Why didn't you make your bed? Why did you slap your brother? Okay, I'm sorry. Because he's ugly is not a good reason. I'm going to spank you. And you're going to put your hands on that bed. And you're not going to take your hands off that bed until I'm done spanking you. And if you do take your hands off that bed before I'm done spanking you, I'm going to give you that many more swats. Now, Shem, I hope you understand. It's healthy. It's biblical. And you know what it does? It's a proper fear. Hey, church, I want to tell you something. When I came home tonight, one of those kids that I had spanked on Sunday has completely forgotten about that spanking because as soon as I came in the house, they gave me a hug. In fact, that same one used my wife's phone this afternoon while I was studying and texted me and said, I love you more.
All right.
I said, I don't think so. You understand that, yes, nobody likes discipline. God the Father doesn't like discipline. But you know what? It keeps me healthy with Him. I don't want God mad at me. I don't want Him disciplining me. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of His correction. Whom the Lord loveth, He correcteth, even as the Father, the Son, whom He delighteth. Hey, church family, I'm done, but I just want you to understand, inside this auditorium and throughout the world, there are no perfect parents. No perfect parents in discipline, no perfect parents in example, no perfect parents. But you know what we strive to do? We strive to have a walk with God and live in the Spirit and to do our best. And every day we ask God, God, please help me to be a better parent. God, help me to train, teach, talk, tell, spend time with touch. God, help me today. Help my wife today. My kids, if anybody knows my weaknesses, it's Sharon, Seth, Sam, Asana, Stephen, Stephanie, Sarah, Susanna. If there's anybody that knows when I'm not what I should be, it's the people I live with. But you know what? God didn't call them into a home that had perfect parents. He called them into a home that had sinful parents that are striving to be more like Christ. And as we strive to be like Christ, we discipline properly. Church family, all I'm trying to say is this. 12-year-olds, listen to me tonight. You ought to submit to your mom and dad. The word submit means to subordinate. The word subordinate means to come under. You know what the problem is? This is what we're constantly doing. We're constantly, as parents, trying to make you come under. This is fun. We're constantly, as parents, making you subordinate. Now, go ahead and just bend your head over. Boy, that is so much easier. Come back up. Put your head down. No, all from farther, please, if you don't mind. A little more? A little more? Oh, I like it. Hey, come back up here. Now, church family, him going down with my hand on his neck is a whole lot better than, ugh. Hey, 12-year-olds, you can either come under and subordinate yourself, or you can make a mom and dad say, listen to me, son, you're not doing that. You understand? Hey, you did a good job. God bless you. Church family, I'm done. I know some of you are tired. I'm done. I promise I'm done. Just give me 30 more minutes. Hey, this is really for me tonight. Scott Hanks, act like a 12-year-old. Sit still. There are times God wants to speak to me, and I am moving. I'm moving here and there and there, and God's just trying to say, sit still. I want to talk to you. Act like a 12-year-old. Sit still. Act like a 12-year-old. Listen. It doesn't matter if you're adult or 12 tonight. Act like a 12-year-old. Be about your father's business. Act like a 12-year-old. Ask questions. Act like a 12-year-old. Submit to authority. Subject unto his parents. Submit to authority. Would you mind closing your eyes tonight?